It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Today I'm honored and really proud to be the first president to stand with you here at the White House to address the 45th March for Life. That's very, very special. 45th March for Life. And this is a truly remarkable group. Today, tens of thousands of families, students, and patriots, and really just great citizens gather here in our nation's capital. You come from many backgrounds, many places, but you all come for one beautiful cause, to build a society where life is celebrated, protected, and cherished. The March for Life is a movement born out of love. You love your families, you love your neighbors, you love our nation, and you love every child, born and unborn, because you believe that every life is sacred, that every child is a precious gift from God. Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
All right, that was President Trump on Friday speaking for the March for Life. Sandy Rios with you on this Monday morning. Yes, I know other things are happening. We'll get to those, I promise. But that's just remarkable. You know, in all of my years at the March for Life, I wasn't able to go this year, but I've been almost every year since 2002. No president has ever spoken. Of course, no president has ever spoken at the rally. President Bush did it by phone. President Reagan just gave short remarks by phone. They're transmitted over the loudspeaker, but it was disappointing. You know, with a pro-life president, you wanted more from them than we actually got. And this president delivered. 45 years, the first president to speak at a pro-life rally. And of course, Donald Trump has put his money where he's put his actions where his mouth has been on this by appointing a pro-life judge, saying that he's going to do that on the court. Trust me, that's not even language we used. When I was at CWA, we didn't dare say we wanted pro-life justices. We did, of course we did. But it was a litmus test we didn't dare admit to or say. And here he is talking about he wants judges who are pro-life. And he doesn't mind saying it. So it's just kind of an amazing thing. I also want you to know a couple of other things that happened in the past few weeks. Because on January the 16th, which was last week, the president proclaimed that as Religious Freedom Day. And this is what he said about that. He said, "Our forefathers, seeking refuge from religious persecution, believed in the eternal truth that freedom is not a gift from the government, but a sacred right from Almighty God. On the coattails of the American Revolution, on January 16th, 1786, the Virginia General Assembly passed the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom. This seminal bill, penned by Thomas Jefferson, states, all men shall be free to profess and by argument to maintain their opinions in matters of religion, and that the same shall in no wise diminish, enlarge, or affect their civil capacities. He goes on to say, today, Americans from diverse ethnic and religious backgrounds remain steadfast in a commitment to the inherent values of faith, honesty, integrity, and patriotism. Our Constitution and laws guarantee Americans the right not just to believe as they see fit, but to freely exercise their religion. I don't know if you know how amazing that is, but I'm telling you, and I have told you, that in the last years of the Obama administration and in the things that Mrs. Clinton promised, remember she said that we would have to set aside our deeply held religious beliefs in order to accommodate the principles of the left. Remember that Christians have been punished, put in jail. Bakers have been charged, so have florists. I mean, people who don't want to give contraceptives or the IUD or whatever devices that are pharmacists have been punished. And so it goes. This is a very big deal. And by the way, we'll put his proclamation on our Facebook page. I know it was last week, but it's still important. I just read a tiny bit of it, but that is what the President of the United States did last week. And then also, this also happened, I believe, Thursday or Friday. Are you ready for this? The Department of Health and Human Services announced the creation of the Conscience and Religious Freedom Division today, demonstrating the administration's commitment to laws that license discrimination against women, LGBT people, and others. The broad language could open the door for health care. You know what? I'm reading the wrong announcement. I realize as I'm reading that makes no sense. I picked up the wrong, that's the ACLU statement on it. So that's their view of this. But this is what it is. The Health and Human Services announced a new division. Obviously, the ACLU doesn't like this. And they don't. What they don't like is that the Health and Human Services Department has opened a new division of Conscience and Religious Freedom. And they are, through its Office of Civil Rights, they will specialize in enforcement and compliance with laws that protect conscience and free exercise of religion and that prohibit coercion and discrimination. The Health and Human Services is taking a lead role in implementing President Trump's executive order on free speech and religious liberty and the Department of Justice's religious liberty guidance. And on it goes. And let me just say that Roger Severino is the new head of HHS. Roger is the husband of Carrie Severino, who is on this show often. You know, Carrie is with Judicial Action Network, and she is a powerhouse attorney. She's a little bit of nothing when you see her, and she's got like six children. She is amazing, and she's often our guest. You'd never know it. She commands respect because of her knowledge. She's fighting all about, you know, getting good judges in the system and on all things corrupt in the judiciary. And her husband is heading up Health and Human Services. This is why personnel makes policy. Who you appoint, who you manage to get into these agencies makes a huge difference. And that's why the frustration over President Trump not being able to get many of his people in place. The Senate has been holding up still many of his nominations. But I digress. Yes, there's more to say. There was a big rally around the country over the weekend. It was the Women's March. Will Carr did a good report on it last night on Fox. Let's listen.
Thousands of women have showed up here to Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas to speak out on a number of issues, but the one that we've heard over and over again is get out to vote. This rally is named Power to the Polls, and the reason that Nevada was chosen is because it's a swing state, and they're hoping to flip seats in the upcoming midterm elections. Now, we've heard from a number of speakers so far, including the president of Planned Parenthood. Take a listen.
So, white women, listen up. We've got to do better. We've got to do better. It is not up to women of color to save this country from itself. That's on all of us.
Women in the stands tell us they showed up to spotlight a number of issues that have been in the headlines over the past year. Take a listen to several of the women we spoke with a little earlier.
If women want to be decision makers, if women want their opinions known, it's going to be up to the women. Nobody is going to give it to us. Power doesn't give up anything without a fight.
It's very important that we make our voices heard as women, because we're important. We're over half this population, so we should be heard.
We're so proud of the women that came out in Alabama, and we won the seat there, and we're hoping more women will come out to the polls.
The goal moving forward after this rally is to register 1 million people to vote before the midterm elections. They're planning marches and rallies similar to this in both Florida and Michigan moving forward.
All right, Will Carr on Fox News, and this is what happened just the end of last week, this march, Women's March. When I talk about this, I hardly know what to say. I just hardly know where to begin because I have so many thoughts about it. Let me just say that this is driven by the feminist movement. Many of our daughters who've gone to colleges and universities have been completely brainwashed by the notion. Still, I got into an argument with a young girl at a D.C. event. No, I didn't mean to get in an argument with her. It was in the home of someone that I knew. It was a big home, beautiful, lots of people there. And I'm sitting right next to her making conversation, and she was a militant feminist. And I said, I'm just curious, what is it that you have not been able to do as a girl, as a woman? What problem? What's the problem here? So, you know, one thing led to another. But I'm just telling you, that's what's happening. Your girls are so mistreated. Women just can't do anything, right? They can't be doctors. They can't be attorneys. They can't be in combat now. They're just so mistreated. It's just amazing. And they're so mistreated, they have to wear these little pink hats with points on them. And they give them a vulgar name because they can, you see. And they can say vulgar things just like a man. And they do. So it's just astounding to me that women are joining and jumping on this bandwagon. I don't know this brand of people. I don't understand them, and I reject their foolishness and their immorality and their vulgarity. I just don't understand it. I was reading an article in, this was in Breitbart by Susan Berry, which she's a doctor, and I haven't had her on in a while, but we should. But Susan's writing that many of the leaders of these marches are suggesting to the women that they not wear these hats because they're offensive. Well, you might think, you know, because they are vulgar hats representing something very personal, in case you didn't know, pee hats, I'll just call it that. How about that? That they shouldn't wear them, but it's not for what maybe you think. The reason is because it's offending transgender women and gender non-binary women who don't have typical female genitalia, and to women of color, because I just can't even read this stuff. Their personal areas are more likely to be brown than pink. So how dare you wear that hat? That's so offensive. So many groups are going to stop wearing those hats because not because they're just offensive and vulgar, but because they are the wrong color and they're offensive and vulgar to transgender women, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. That's how nuts women have become, many of them. And they are, you know, I'm sure you saw the video footage yesterday. They're coming out in droves. And they're registering to vote. I was reading this article. This was in McClatchy. Jennifer Mosbacher cried in a doctor's office the morning after Donald Trump's election, unable to control herself during a routine physical. The 43-year-old Atlanta suburbanite had avoided politics her entire life, but was overcome with shock by an outcome she never saw coming. Then it goes on how she got angry. She decided to act on it. She joined the resistance movement. And then it turns to the fact that this resistance movement has turned countless of apolitical women and men into firebrand activists set on making the political remaking the political system. Emily's List, who is in the business of recruiting pro-choice candidates, has been contacted by more than 22,000 women interested in running for office. So there you go. And it's true. I mean, they are gaining steam, especially in urban areas. The women are, you know, these women in these little pink hats, vulgar pink hats, who are fighting for lesbian rights. And they think they're fighting the Nazis. That's what I saw them march yesterday, that somehow they're fighting Nazis. The rest of us, of course, love Nazis and love racism and don't wear hats. But, you know, I just think this is just an amazing phenomenon. Meanwhile, the government is shut down. This is the third day. They're supposed to vote at noon again to try to open it up again. But what's with this? The Republicans are offering the Democrats everything they want in this budget. Honestly, it's really would be an embarrassment under normal circumstances, including a seven-year extension on this CHIP bill for children. But the Democrats don't want it because they want to make legal some millions of illegal immigrants. We'll get to that with our next guest, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sheila from Tennessee attended one of the town hall meetings hosted by Dan Celia. She left thinking about different ways to handle her finances.
Dan Celia spoke a lot about tithing and being faithful to the Lord, and I definitely intend on getting in on this charitable gift annuity, which I've never done, but it sounds so exciting. Listening to him in there, it made me reevaluate my way of spending money, my way of doing, and it shows you that a little bit can go a long way when you place it in the Master's hands. So what we need to do, and what I intend on doing, is taking the little bit and making it be worth much for the Lord.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net.
St. Francis of Assisi is often given credit for saying, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Whoever originated the quote, the intent is clear. We should demonstrate the power of the gospel through our lives as we prove we are true followers of Jesus. But demonstrating the power of the gospel and explaining the gospel itself are two different things. In short, it is impossible to preach the gospel of Christ without words. At some point, the unsaved person has to be told the specifics of Christ's death and resurrection on behalf of sinners. We need to do both: explain and demonstrate the gospel. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's true gospel on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school, and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
From the University of Tennessee in Knoxville comes word of a disturbing video showing a student arguing in favor of killing newborn babies simply because they cannot communicate.
The fact of the matter is, if without communication, we have no way of knowing if you're sentient or not. I mean, it's no different than this tree. It's alive, but is it sentient? I don't know. I cannot communicate to it.
The video was filmed by Students for Life of America. You can watch the entire encounter on ToddStarnes.com. Students for Life says there's a growing movement on university campuses favoring infanticide, in some cases killing children as young as 2 years old. I'm afraid an unspeakable wickedness has befallen many of our public university campuses. What kind of a society are we to fund places that advocate for the slaughter of babies? What kind of people have we become? I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The president would not give him everything he wants on the issue of illegal immigration in one afternoon in the Oval Office.
At this point, we feel very, very strongly about the issues, not just Dreamers, but opioids, pensions, not funding the military on a CR basis, and we feel the American people are on our side.
Well, maybe and maybe not. That's Mitch McConnell talking about Chuck Schumer going in to talk to the president and upset that he didn't get everything he wanted. Schumer then responding the way he responded. Mick Mulvaney with Chris Wallace on Sunday said this.
It's almost as if they're so beholden to their left wing that they can't give the president even a victory on keeping the government open. I really do believe that at heart here there was an interest by some folks in the Democrat Party to deny the president sort of the victory lap of the anniversary of his inauguration, the chance to talk about the success with the tax bill, success with the economy and jobs. It could go several days, because I think there's other Democrats who want to see the president give the State of the Union during a shutdown.
Yes, I think he's right about that. President Trump also weighed in briefly on his take on this. Let's listen.
The Democrats want to see a shutdown to get off this subject, because this subject is not working for them. The tax cuts and tax reform has not been working well for the Democrats.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. And, of course, we are in the middle of a government shutdown of sorts. It's not exactly what they're painting it to be, and yet we know that this is serious, because the reason it's serious is because our Congress has really broken down. They are not establishing a budget. They haven't in years. They're doing these short-term cliff spending bills. The Republicans are giving the Democrats everything they want almost every single time, in spite of the election of Donald Trump. And so we are hurling deeper in debt. And, of course, our agencies cannot make plans. Our military can't make plans. It is a serious situation. I've asked Rick Manning to join me this morning. He's the president of Americans for Limited Government, and he's right in the thick of all of this stuff. Rick, thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Not a problem, Sandy. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. In spite of it, I'm good. You know, they were talking in those clips about motive, and I would be curious to know what you think the real motive, you think the real motive of the left is, led by Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, in shutting down the government?
I think it's twofold. First of all, I believe that they did want to deny the president his one-year anniversary party at Mar-a-Lago. And basically they have the weekend being all about the massive impact of the tax cuts, the many successes this president has had in terms of rolling back regulations, and the economic boom that we seem to be having around the country. They didn't want to have that conversation, so they shut down the government. But secondly, I think it's bigger than that. This is a roll of the dice. The Democrats politically believe that they had a lot of things going their way. We've seen some elections that normally would have gone to Republicans going to Democrats. And so politically, they really had the dice rolling in their direction. Yet they make a move which is really pretty desperate. And that's to shut down the government over the illegal immigration issue. And I believe they thought that they could basically roll the president on this, and it would be a kill shot to him in terms of his credibility with his base. Because of the fact the president stood firm on DACA and has said, you know, we're going to deal with that, but we're going to deal with it and get end chain migration. We're going to get rid of the visa lottery, and we're going to begin, and we're going to build a wall. So he's done those types of things and stayed true to that. The Democrats have found that they perhaps bit off more than they can chew, and they're losing this debate.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, I was just reading this morning. I'm sure you saw it, Rick. The CNN poll talking about how the Democratic advantage is narrowing. They're in much closer in the generic polling, and I'm not going to get into the weeds of that. It would take too long. But there's also an article in CNN titled today, Why Democrats May Be Making the Wrong Bet on the Shutdown, and it's tracking a lot of voters, independents, even Democrats and Republicans, of course, who do not like this decision to help illegal immigrants over funding the federal government. So they may have overplayed their hand. But I think at the same time, before you joined me this morning, I was talking about the Women's March. I was talking about, you know, the resistance movement. And, you know, Rick, I heard Nancy Pelosi say over the weekend, trying to encourage people to get out in the streets, hundreds of thousands of people to rally. I think that they're trying to further rally their base and whip them into a frenzy to get them ready for 2018. I think that's part of it, too, don't you?
Well, you know, I think that's true, but when you think about it, they've done a pretty good job of, all they have to do is put Donald Trump on a meme and the base comes out. So, you know, the base hates Trump. They're not going to increase that in any way, shape, or form. What they've effectively done, though, I believe, is they've created an awareness on the right that we can't let these crazy people win. And so it becomes a little more what they are effectively doing with their ploy. Is they're not going to get any more of their votes out, but they're going to make it darn certain that the conservatives and other people care about limited government to get their votes out. And so it's in one fell swoop, they've defined what this next election is about. It's about amnesty. And if they're going to define an election based on amnesty, they're going to lose.
Yeah, I think you might be right, because I think, you know, the report, even in the USA Today, reported that the so-called Dreamers are like in the 3 point something million. It's not 700,000. And so we're talking about millions of citizens being granted legal status here, plus all the financial costs of it. And I think people, honestly, Rick, I think people are beginning, and all parties are beginning to wake up and understand what a danger that is. But let's talk about what the Republicans are asking here. It seems to me that what they have offered here is pretty weak, thin grail. I mean, this is still funding a ton of the left, is it not? And also expanding CHIP by 7 years.
Yeah, it's a. This is a really, really. I'm not going to say bad, but it's a. It's not a very good funding bill. It certainly isn't one that I would have jumped up and down and said, "Gee, this is something we're winning." From a limited government perspective, this is a bill that is disappointing. It's certainly not what you'd expect when you have the Republicans in control of both the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And yet the Democrats got virtually everything they wanted in the bill and then came forward and said, we didn't get the last 10%. And it's almost everything is upside down in Washington, D.C., where a party that doesn't control a single body, a single lever of power in this town is driving the ship. And and everybody has to cow to them. And it's just absurd. It's exactly the opposite of the way things are supposed to be. And it's frustrating for everybody. It's certainly frustrating for me.
You know what? I was just thinking, this reminds me, this is my memory here, in Ohio when Clinton was president and Yasser Arafat and I can't even remember the Israeli leader then. They were Yasser Arafat was offered everything. You can have everything. He was giving the Israeli leader Peres was giving away everything. And when it came down to it, then Yasser Arafat said no. It wasn't enough. And the point was, I think, then Yasser Arafat did not want peace. He had more to gain by the chaos and the PR that he was mistreated. And I think kind of it's the same but different, don't you?
I think it is, and it's in this regard, it's exactly the same. Yasser Arafat was not be content until Israel was driven into the sea. That's what Yasser Arafat wanted. And similarly, Chuck Schumer will not be content until every single person who supports Donald Trump is driven into the sea. That is what they are after. We see it through their hate speech laws. We see it through everything with what Twitter and Facebook and all this kind of doing with the Twitter shadow bans and things like that, where they're shutting up people, not allowing them to have access to have speech rights. They will not be content until not just they win politically and resume the Barack Obama agenda, but until they win completely culturally and extinguish those of us who have a Christian worldview. They view us as being evil, and as such, we must be eliminated from the public sphere. And that's what they're ultimately trying to do, and this is one step in that direction. And we just can't let them. It's an existential fight for the country, and we have to be there and fight it.
I have to say that is not an overstatement, Rick. I just want to say for people listening, that is not an overstatement. That is exactly what's happening here. And for those of us that are watching it closely, all we can do is just warn people. I keep hammering the 2018 elections home. I think this 2018 is just about is arguably as important as the last presidential election, because if the left prevails in 2018. It's going to be worse. It's going to be. They're going to come for Christians and conservatives with a vengeance. It will be all hell unleashed through the federal agencies, and it'll just be a nightmare, I think. And so, Rick, I'm reading all these reports of, they're registering all these women voters through these marches. We talked about that. The strength and the enthusiasm of the resistance movement. And it can be very discouraging. But then I remember when President Trump was running for president, we kind of had the same feeling, didn't we? Like all was lost, like we're outnumbered, like it's kind of hopeless. That's part of the strategy too, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it really is. And the strategy is to demoralize. And at some level, our friends on the Republican side are play a role in that, because the establishment Republicans don't want the Trump forces to be robust, because that's a threat to them. So we have kind of an interesting triangulation that's happening. But the bottom line on this is very simple, Sandy. they are mobilized. They, you know, the Women's March, you know, is going to happen. Those things are, they're mobilized. This whole Me Too movement kind of is the next step in that. And it's, and that's, in saying this, I'm not excusing boorish behavior, sexual harassment, or any attempt by anybody to engage in what is in any world rape. That's wrong. But the movement itself is a political movement, and it's a political movement driven by the left. It doesn't welcome anybody on the right to join it. And if you are a supporter of Donald Trump, you are in fact guilty. You're guilty because, until proven innocent to the people in that movement. And as a result, we have to be strong. We have to stand up, and we have to fight. It's a very simple concept, and we're not fighting for abstract principle or for principles that people don't know. We're actually fighting for the basic American principles that everybody does know and the other side have rejected.
All right. One common sense suggestion the president has made on the practical parts of this shutdown is something you and I both know is not going to happen. That is, do away with the filibuster, for heaven's sake. Do away with the rule that says you have to have 60 votes to vote, for heaven's sake, Mitch McConnell. Do away with it. But even if he did away with that, would he have 50 Republican votes?
No. Yeah. No, the fact is, if they did away with the filibuster, he doesn't have 50 votes. It's a, you know, when we lost the Alabama seat, we suddenly need 51. Now, Doug Jones voted with McConnell on Friday, but they lost 5 Republicans in the Senate. They got 6 Democrats. So it was and not surprisingly, the Democrats they got were from all Donald Trump states where Donald Trump won big, and those Democrats can't afford to be on the opposite side of him on this issue. So it's a, but no, he lost 5 Republicans, and you know, you've got McCain's out. You have Thad Cochran, who's very ill. Yeah. So the Republicans don't have a functional majority in the Senate. And people need to just understand the Republicans, what you think of as being the Republican majority in the Senate is, and this is terms used too much, but Republicans in name only, it really is functionally almost a 49-49 body right now. And that's a difficult position to be in if you're the majority leader.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Rick, today they're supposed to vote at noon Eastern Standard Time, as I understand it. So what do you expect to happen today?
I think the Democrats cave, but they get a promise that they'll bring up some kind of the Lindsey Graham negotiated bad immigration bill and on the Senate floor within the next week to 10 days. That's what I think happens.
Okay. Well, we think, you know, Flake is...
I don't like it. I don't like it, but that's what I think will happen.
Senator Flake, of course, is boasting that DACA, that McConnell has promised him a vote on DACA even before it expires in March. You think that's true?
Well, yeah, I think the vote will be between now and the next CR. There'll be a 2 to 3 week CR, and it'll be, and there will be a vote on the Senate's immigration bill before then. And then the Senate will try to hold up the House to force them to pass the immigration bill that they want. Otherwise, they'll shut down the government again in 3 weeks. And ultimately, the player in this game, the only player that matters in this game, is Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has to hold firm and support the Goodlatte bill, which puts things into perspective and reforms the immigration system in a meaningful way. So we end chain migration, we end the visa lotteries, and we do real border security. That's got to be the watchword on it. And if that doesn't occur, it's going to be a very, very difficult time for Donald Trump politically, because I fear a lot of his supporters will abandon him.
Well, it's going to be a very difficult time for this country. You know, I was just reading, we're out of time here, but California is now, they have a new motor voter. They're registering illegal immigrants to vote. Even if they don't want to, if they don't say no, they're registering them. So we're reaching critical mass where the nonsense is having a lot more power than it should. And so those of us who have reasoned minds better fight. Rick Manning of Americans for Limited Government. Rick, thanks so much for joining me this morning, and I hope
thanks,
you
Sandy.
Have a great day. I'll talk to you soon.
I sure will. Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. The New York Times published an op-ed by Vivian Gornick that praised communism. She wrote, quote, "It is perhaps hard to understand now, but at the time, the Marxist vision of world solidarity, as translated by the Communist Party, induced in the most ordinary of men and women a sense of one's own humanity that ran deep, made life feel large," unquote. Really? On what planet? Hundreds of millions of people were plundered, pillaged, starved to death, and butchered, all in the name of communism. Revisionism knows no bounds, apparently.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
It is evident to me that we're in the fourth quarter. We want to discuss affairs of the day in an effort to convey to you how to navigate them biblically, because the ultimate thing that has to be proclaimed is the gospel. And what we need and what I'm seeking God for and crying out to the Lord for is that we would, in this season of time, would return to preaching the gospel with boldness and without hindrance.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio.
To sharpen the faith of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who don't know him. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. This is host David Wheaton inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, to pursue that mission as we discuss a compelling topic from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on AFR Talk.
In September of last year, you and I were glued to our TV sets as we watched Hurricane Harvey wreak havoc in Texas. Many communities suffered great damage. In fact, almost 400,000 families had their homes flooded, 80% of them no insurance, nowhere to turn. That's where you and I get a chance to be the hands and feet of Jesus. 8 Days of Hope, you know, we've been around for 12 years, but God has called us to bring the largest group of volunteers ever to Southeast Houston. So we're going to do a back-to-back trip. 8 Days of Hope 14 and 8 Days of Hope 15. Literally back-to-back. You're going to get a chance to serve with thousands of people from all over the world. We're looking for skilled professionals, people who know how to work with their hands, and maybe they do this for a living. We're also looking for people that are less skilled, but are still looking to be a part of something way bigger than just themselves. You don't have to come for all 2 weeks. You can come for as little as 3 days. We provide the food and lodging, and it's free. Go to 8daysofhope.com for more information. 8daysofhope.com. 8daysofhope.com.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Clearly, one of the reasons Senator Chuck Schumer shut down the government was his determination to get an amnesty that would turn so-called DACA kids and their extended families into reliable Democratic voters. A less obvious but equally compelling factor may have been his party's need for a distraction from new revelations about the illegal activities its leaders and operatives engaged in during and after the 2016 election. Unfortunately for Democratic partisans, my friend Ginny Thomas has just posted to DailyCaller.com a breathtaking interview with former special counsel and U.S. Attorney Joe DiGenova. He carefully and methodically connects the proverbial dots, leaving only one reasonable conclusion. Senior officials in the Obama administration serially violated the law to try to defeat Donald Trump, and then did it some more to sabotage his presidency. Sorry, Chuck. The truth will out. Find it at DailyCaller.com. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
There are 4 pages of a memorandum prepared by the Intelligence Committee that will shock the conscience of this country when it comes to the horrific abuses that occurred during the last administration and that I believe continue to pose a threat to Donald Trump's presidency. It is so important, Judge Jeanine, that we are fighting to get this memo released to all of the American people. I don't think the right answer is just to allow members of Congress to be horrified and outraged. All Americans need to see what was happening
happening to undermine this president. This is a composite memo drafted by the staff of the Intelligence Committee, and it highlights various conclusions that will truly shock the consciousness.
But what do you mean? It highlights whose conclusions?
Well, names are named. The names that we've talked about in the news associated with the corruption that has posed to the president.
McCabe, and Strzok, and who else?
Well, I can't go into the specific names until we share that information, but I can say this. Names are named, and you also get to see the interaction between the various people that we've been discussing and the organizations and entities that had a stake in the outcome in the 2016 election. And so going from a point in time where we have just a series of data points and characters to actually assembling that into a fact pattern, it tells a lot to the American people. I think we'll be shocked not only at the way information was collected, but the way that that information was authenticated. And I can't go into any details, but only to say that you're aware as a judge of the way evidence has to be authenticated and presented to a court to get a warrant. And prosecutors and investigators cannot perpetrate frauds on the court by presenting false information or information they know to be false.
All right, that was Congressman Matt Gaetz with Judge Jeanine Pirro last night on Fox. Now, here's the thing. He's talking about this memo that congressmen can see if they go into this secret room, a private room. They can only go in and read it, just them. I think at this point, I'm not sure how many, but I'd say a lot of the Republican congressmen have gone in to read it. Only one Democratic congressman has gone in to read it. And you can hear Congressman Gaetz describe it. I'm hearing from many friends on Capitol Hill that this could be earth-shattering, that this is this will reveal criminal activity by people in the highest echelons of our government, and that's why they want to make it public. They're working on it right now. I heard from another congressman just yesterday that I don't understand. I've only heard it from one source, and so I hesitate to say, but he's saying that they're going to release that memo. It's going to be coming out. Now, you know, as we are watching this silliness on Capitol Hill and we're watching the silliness of the women's marchers, and it is silliness. I'm sorry. I'm not a guy, so I don't have to worry about my political correctness. I am ashamed of the women of my generation. I have been for a long time. I just don't understand their foolishness, and I don't understand why more of us weren't deeply grounded in not only in God's word, but on the principles of God's word about the moral behavior that is beneficial to us as well as our daughters, of setting limits, of doing things in a way that brings honor and not the crassness, it's a very ugly thing. It is a very ugly thing when women behave in this way. They become ugly. They don't become like men with all the privileges. They just become ugly because they are not, they are acting outside of the realm of God's parameters. And what God designed is what's best. It isn't like limiting, like, gee, I can't do, if only I could, like the apple. Gee, if you, really? God doesn't want you to eat this apple because he understands you're going to have all this knowledge and be able to do all these things. And the truth is, God, it was God's protection. We didn't need to know everything he knew. It'd be a burden. And so the women, you know, they have to have that apple. They got to have the whole thing. They got to be able to do everything they want, have sex with as many men in their lifetime or women as they can, go for the gusto. They want the whole apple, and it's not going to turn out well for them or their daughters. So, but I digress. So here we go with Matt Gaetz and this this memo. So while that's happening, this is the huge news. This is arguably more important than the government shutdown. And so we're waiting to hear more about this. And by the way, Joe DeGeneva, who you heard Frank mention in that commentary a few minutes ago, will be our guest tomorrow morning. We'll be talking all about that memo. So I think you'll want to tune in. We'll be talking about the memo and all about the things that are happening in the deep state and the national security. It's breathtaking. And I let me just add one more thing. When I hear Congressman Gaetz speak there, it reminds me of all my congressman friends. And I know that there are only a handful of them who are truly principled men. I don't know of any women. Honestly, I don't. If I could think of some, I'd mention them. I am not happy with the women who serve in our Congress. But I digress again. But these guys are spending hour upon hour upon hour. They are fighting with everything they've got. And so would you please join me in praying for them? Would you, when you're enjoying your personal private life, because you chose not to go into public office, but you, our system is such that these people take on the brunt of things on our behalf. Now, the way it's turned, it's the, a lot of these people have gotten privileges. They've made themselves rich. They have twisted their role so that they're not servants. They become like kings and princes. But there are a lot of people on Capitol Hill who didn't do that. They really are serving, and they're paying a high price. Will you pray for them? Will you pray for them? I think of the members of the Freedom Caucus. That's what comes to my mind. Pray for them, that they will have strength, that they can spend time with their families, that their wives will remain strong, their families, their children protected. When you have a chance, will you thank them? Will you send them your thank yous? Will you just pour out your praise on them to help sustain them? Because they really are on the front lines on our behalf right now. And even though we can't see disaster yet, you know, things are pretty normal still, right? It's coming. It's coming if they don't prevail. And so we need to be grateful. And, of course, I don't mean to leave him out because I never do. It's always in my mind, even if I don't verbalize it. I do trust God. I know he has a hand in all of this. And we need to ask him, beg him to have mercy on this country and to restore justice and righteousness, real justice, what's really right, as opposed to what's wrong, and not some kind of phony social justice, but real justice, the truth, and regardless, blindfolded, not regardless of how you choose to have sexual relations or what color you happen to be or what religion, but true justice for all people, races and colors. Really, that what's right would happen and not what's wrong. Anyway, we need to ask God and beg him actively. I've been reading this, it's Jim Cimbala's book, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. It's not a new book. It came out, I think in the 90s. Jim is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir, and it's just a story of faith and prayer. It's just amazing, and it's I'm really loving it. I would recommend the book to you because he's just talking about the miracles that God did through the prayers of the people of Brooklyn Tabernacle. And I was reminded, you know, I heard a story once that Albert Einstein, who knew all the mysteries, well, knew a lot of the mysteries of the universe and figured some of them out and explained them to us as best he could, attended church at some point and maybe more than once. And said he would have become a Christian, except that in the church experiences that he had, the God they talked about was just too small. He was just too small compared to what Albert Einstein was seeing in the universe. And so let's don't make the mistake of making our God too small in all of this. We are but ants. Who is man that God is mindful of us? And yet he is. He loves us. He doesn't. That doesn't mean he turns a blind eye to misdeeds, because he's a God of justice and anger, and he will bring justice eventually. We just like for him to bring it in this country now, if he would so do that on behalf of his people. Oh, there's so much to say, but here I go. In terms of what's happening with immigration, this is just an unbelievable situation. I want to just give you a rundown of some recent events. This is an ad that was produced by a political ad, I think, produced by allies of Donald Trump. And I want you to hear it. Let's listen.
That's illegal immigrant Luis Bracamontes, charged with murdering two police officers.
I wish I could kill more of those motherfuckers.
It's pure evil. President Trump is right. Build the wall. Deport criminals. Stop illegal immigration now. Democrats who stand in our way will be complicit in every murder committed by illegal immigrants. President Trump will fix our border and keep our families safe.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
All right, in case you couldn't quite catch that, that's a 37-year-old illegal alien from Mexico who shot, and allegedly, he's in court to prove or not prove this, shot and killed Detective Michael Davis, Deputy Sheriff Danny Oliver. And he said, he wished he had killed more of the blank blanks. I will break out soon and I will kill more, kill whoever gets in front of me. And as he's smiling, he's saying that in the courtroom, there's no need for a blanking trial. And so we are overrun with criminal illegal immigrants and some legal immigrants who've been, you know, given the grace to stay here through the Dreamer program. They were made to believe they're all young and innocent, just these kids, poor kids. Many of them are criminals. We have just had a mindless policy, and it has to stop. And I mentioned when I was speaking with Rick Manning a few minutes ago, California now has, beginning April 1st, every person who gets a California driver's license will be automatically entitled to vote. California New Motor Voter Act, signed October 2015. So the DMV will forward records for all eligible applicants to the Secretary of State's Office for Registration, unless those applicants elect not to register. So automatically, they will be registered, each and every illegal immigrant, to vote in California. Can you imagine? And then what happens when they move to other states? Do you think that maybe we're going to have a problem? Remember, the Voter Commission was disbanded. They couldn't get states to cooperate with them to turn over their registered voter rolls. There's something rotten here. Just saying, and that's at the crux of why you see all those marches on Friday, the Women's March, you see the resistance movement, you see Antifa. By the way, I had a story about them. Here, I've got it right here. This happened in New York just a few days ago. Mike Cernovich planned a special commemoration of the president's inauguration. It was scheduled to be in New York City, and this is just a few days ago. There's an active, ongoing, organized sabotage of Trump supporters, and three venues where they had planned the event bowed out at the last minute after they signed contracts. And then when they did finally find a place, 100 Antifa protesters showed up, and 100 New York Police Department officers were required to keep them from harming guests. So all hell is breaking loose, we have anarchy on our hands. Now, I think this is interesting because the USA Today, just a few days ago, reported that there are not 700,000 Dreamers. 700,000. This is like when they tell us there are 12 million illegal immigrants in this country. I just laugh. Are you kidding me? If you live in Washington, D.C., if you live in Dallas, Texas, if you live in Atlanta, if you live in Miami, if you live in Los Angeles or any place now in California, you know that there are more than 12 million illegal immigrants in this country. But of the Dreamer category, we've been told 700,000, right? Just 700,000. Why we need to be compassionate. But the headline in the USA Today article is there are 3.6 million Dreamers, a number far greater than commonly known. That's the headline in the USA Today, and it goes through and tracks them. And, of course, then we have chain migration where they want to, meaning the Democrats and the left, want to legalize them. I wonder why. You think it might be connected to, like, what California's doing? You think, maybe, that the fact that they don't want any kind of voter regulation or any commission checking in on voting might have something to do with them wanting to push their Women's March, Antifa, leftist, radical, violent protests so they have more votes in order to establish that? Wouldn't it be ironic if somehow we legalized all of these people and their families and somehow it turns out that they actually value borders and value the culture that they find here and turn out to vote against the left? Wouldn't that be something? That's something that God could do. I don't expect it, but he could do that. I don't expect that to happen apart from him, is what I meant to say. Okay. So, you know what? There's just more, but I'm going to have to stop for today. Listen, there's nothing God can't do, and I trust him. We've seen him work miracles in our personal lives and in this country, and we continue to ask for his blessing and his mercy, and we will do that. And again, let me just say that Joe DeGeneva will be my guest tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. We'll be talking about that memo and other national security issues. So stay tuned. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.